For me, it's fun to go to new places and like a way to experience new countries, new places, new cities.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I am Chip.
I'm Chris, and this is episode 27. This week we have Desiree, like Seal, Madonna, Ronaldo,
McLovin,
Braun. In the world of swim run, if you say Desiree, for the most part, you know who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Desiree Anderson, she's reigning world champ. She's on the show, so we're really excited about this.
So let's dive right into our training update. We, Chris and I, did a swim run practice.
We did.
Can you believe it?
So yeah. It was gross.
It was. I actually did two swim run practices this week, one with our mutual friend, who is training for Casco Bay.
I wasn't there, but Chipper promised that he wouldn't tether with anyone else other than me.
Exactly. And we got it cleared with all parties. it was all in the up and up. There was no sleazing around behind anybody's swim room partner's back. But it did lead to some good meme fodder. If you're not seeing that's on the Low Tide Boys on Instagram. But we inadvertently went out during... Actually,
well,
the low tide.
This is ironic, right? We're the low tide boys, but this was like too low.
Way too low, where it was 50 yards of mud just to get
stinky sea mud.
We were probably 100 meters offshore, and my paddles were touching the ground, the soil every time.
Yeah, for anyone who's raced Vine Man, that was the total flashback to swimming in that river.
It was gross, and we kept swimming up, not upstream, but like, up the coast,
north.
And we're like, can we get out here? No, we just kept going up. And then once we finally found a place that worked, we just went on like a 40-minute run just to let the tide come back, and then it was all good on the way back home.
Yeah, except for the major current that we were swimming against. Rules of physics.
Also, Casco Bay flashbacks from the flooded
sandbar. Yeah.
But yeah, that was great. And Chris, you had a big week. Last week as well, you've been putting some big numbers up.
Yeah, I know. I've been keeping the volume up, so doing some swim run stuff was good just to kind of see where the fitness is, because I've been doing a bunch of other stuff, like a lot of running and just a lot of swimming in the pool. So to do a swim run was kind of fun just to kind of see what was going on. So it was good.
Yeah, nice. And I missed out on booking all my swim sessions for just last week only, so that's why I opted for some more open water stuff.
Yeah, no, it's good. This beach is going to be conducive for us doing some training.
I foresee the Low Tide Boys being there.
Yeah,
frequently.
Our heat map on Strava, you're going to be able to see it from space, I think, when we're done with that place, because it's a really good beach to just work on transitions. So you could do, you know, a quarter of a mile run, transition into the water, do a swim back where you started, do another run. So we could do that 8 to 10 times and just start really working on that technique, as Nicholas Ramirez mentions and on his episode.
And Desiree alludes to as
That's
well.
Right.
So
That's
a little
right.
teaser there. So let's get right into the shout outs. So we actually wanted to shout out one of our really good friends of the Low Tide Boys.
Yes.
John Hayato.
Yes.
He did an incredible feat this weekend.
Yes, he ran almost 50 miles in 12 hours to raise money for a foundation called KEEN, which stands for Kids Enjoy Exercise Now, which helps disabled kids essentially engage in sport. And this is developmental disabilities, this is physical disabilities, and it gives parents some respite. And the kids get a chance to go swimming, play baseball, basketball, all these sports with a bunch of volunteers. It's pretty cool. And he raised, I think, over $2,000.
That is awesome. So nice job on that, John.
Yeah.
And the piece of resistance for this is he ran it around a 2-block circle or square, rectangle.
Yeah, it was
rather.
Like 0.3 miles.
So he logged 49.12 miles at 11-minute clip, which is pretty good, nine hours. On that.
Yeah, 9 hours
of running.
3 hours of
3 hours
of other stuff.
Of chair. And he amassed actually 2,500 feet elevation. So kind of sneaky.
Yeah.
Kind of sneaky on that elevation.
All on paper. I mean, I know John really well. I've been to his house in Denver, and that pavement, that sidewalk is really choppy too. So it's actually pretty surprising that it's not just a smooth run.
So this feat of endurance that John completed.
Got us thinking.
The low tide, I think you've caught on to this now. the wheels will always be churning upstairs for us. And I know that you probably hear us say, oh, man, we're doing a lot of work. We're working a lot. Well, we always try to keep more things to work on.
Yeah,
especially when we're really passionate about it, which this podcast is one of them. So we are announcing a new segment to the Low Tide Boys podcast, a weekly...
Cue the music. Cue the horn.
Cue the horn. A weekly feat of endurance. Endurance. Yes. Endurance.
Nice echo. We got the name. We're kind of spoofing off of Festivus from Seinfeld, the Seinfeld show, where one of the things you would do in Festivus is engage in feats of strength. So we thought, oh, let's do feats of endurance. And the way you get nominated is you actually have to be part of our Strava club so we can see it. And then you just have to do...
We're going to pick it out.
Just do a bunch of workouts. You know, if it's random, funny, whatever it is. Title helps.
Title could be...
Title helps in making, you know, if it's a tiebreaker or something. But the idea is every week we're going to select somebody from our Strava club who's been working out and doing stuff, and we'll shout them out. And what you'll get, these haven't been made yet. You know, whoever gets selected for Feat of Endurance for the week is going to get a custom Low Tide Boys bumper
exclusive
sticker.
Exclusive bumper sticker.
A bumper sticker that you probably don't want to put on your car. But if you did, it would say something to the effect, we actually haven't even designed it yet. We just have the logo ready, but we don't actually know what we're going to say. It's going to be something to the effect of, you know, you're part of this really exclusive club.
Ask me about my feats of endurance.
Something like that.
Now... I will say the qualification for this, and I know because sometimes when you hear these contests or you see them, you're like, oh, man, I'm not going to run 50 miles in one run. Don't worry.
Yeah.
This isn't a pissing contest on who can go furthest. It could be, like, for example, last week I saw Marcus did a 13-mile mountain bike ride. It was the most zigzaggy course. He must have done 42
switchbacks
on this course, and it made me dizzy just looking at it. So it could be a really funny title, a really cool workout.
A cool photo. Yeah. No real, you know, the point is
it's open to everybody.
It's open to everybody. But that also got us thinking, because that's not enough work, is we're also creating the Feats of Endurance Hall of Fame.
We already have our first member.
We already have a member. But before we announce who that is, We want to explain why real quick, which is basically like, hey, you can only win the feats of endurance once. And if you're just constantly crushing it, like, for example, you're a pro triathlete and you're just like used to crushing like big weeks. Okay. You're in the Hall of Fame.
We see you.
Yeah. So Amber, congratulations. You're the first person in the
Low Tide Boys
Feats of endurance Hall of Fame.
So congratulations. Congrats. We will get these stickers made and we'll be sure to send one to you and John. So if you're wondering how to get one of these super exclusive stickers, just go to Strava and just simply search
join
for the Low Tide Boys Club and join it. We have now 62 members. I am
63.
Did you unfollow and then refollow?
No.
So we are super happy with how that is. And it's a cool thing because we're all active people. So it's great to see everyone's stuff.
I frankly enjoy that type of engagement better than, like, say on Facebook or something like that. It's like, hey, we're just supporting everybody doing whatever it is they're doing. If it's a 5-minute stretch post your Peloton ride, I'm giving kudos on that bitch. You know, kudos on everything.
Totally. So let's get into housekeeping / news. We are in the July issue. We're not the centerfold.
Well, we're in the July online edition issue.
Of Triathlete Magazine.
Yes, that should be dropping soon. So make sure to follow our Instagram and we'll be memeing about it when we know it's coming out.
For sure. And we are also in a French magazine.
Trimax.
They have a swim run section and the Low Tide Boys are featured there. It's all in French.
Yeah, it's one page.
It's one page, a couple
pretty bad
photos of us.
Yeah, a blurry photo and a not blurry photo. And, pretty exciting. So, you know, thanks, Mercy, to Trimax Magazine for putting us in there. It's ridiculous, but, hey, thank you.
We think it's ridiculous.
We think it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
A great article.
It's also awesome.
Yes.
So let's get into, we have Inkaden, Otolo Inkaden coming up.
Right.
So don't forget, we did a pretty expansive and exhaustive course preview. We had two different athletes who are constantly on the podium. We had Nicholas Ramirez from Envol Coaching. We had Mott Scott from Otola. giving details about leg by leg, about the course, how to train for it, yep, what the cows look like, and what to eat. So if you want to know anything about Otolo Inkeden, check it out. We'll link it in the show notes.
And the latest details about that in the COVID world we live in is the race is still a go. Americans,
at this time of recording.
When this show airs, as far as we know, it's still a go. Americans can't go because...
Travel ban.
So we can't get into Switzerland. And then there's also some restrictions if you're coming from Europe. So Sweden, there's actually a 10-day quarantine period that seems like folks have to do if they're going to go from Sweden to Switzerland to race this. So our Swedish listeners, just make sure you're checking in with Atala so they know what's going on.
They are your source of truth on this, not us.
But yeah, so interesting developments. But as far as we know, the race is still a go, which is great.
Absolutely. So we also want to remind you to check out the latest Low Tide Boys Swim Run Labs collab episode where we talked all about undergarments. So
cue the
smooth jazz Kenny G plus Low Tide Boys After Dark music, where we're talking about, you know, we see this all over the place on the Facebook forums. We get emails, what socks do you wear? So now we're answering all those questions. You know, what do you wear under your bottoms of your wetsuit? What do you wear on the top? What kind of socks do you wear? Do you wear a thermal cap? We're talking about all that. So you're hearing four different perspectives, two male, two female. So we really try to make it a good piece of content, and we think that you're really going to like that. So be sure to check that out. And those are really great ones to send over to your friends who are bugging you with all these questions. Be like, the Low Tide Boys already took care of this.
That's right. And
we got you.
A final thing we want to mention, we still have a couple discount codes active that we'd love for people to take advantage of, especially as things appear to be opening up.
As your training ramps up from being locked up.
Exactly. So with Blue 70, you can use the code SWIMRUN for 20% off anything on their website. That's wetsuits, socks, they got goggles. They pretty much have a bunch of stuff. And then with Precision Hydration, the code is Low Tide Boys with a Z for 15% off of your order. And I've already ordered twice because
I'm going to order again.
Yeah. So anyway, if you need stuff, check it out. If you didn't listen to that episode, we really encourage people listening to the Andy Blow episode from Precision Hydration, because it was pretty enlightening just the way he's breaking down hydration for swim run and sort of exercise in general.
Totally. And if you had any feedbacks on, because that was kind of the first time that we had done any sort of nutrition-y type stuff, and we have a couple ideas. So if that's something that's working for you or was interesting, just let us know. Also, we interviewed John Duquette, the Blue 70 CEO.
CEO.
So you can learn all about the
Blue 70 company.
All about Blue 70.
All right. With that, I think we should just get to the interview this week, which we have Desiree Anderson, as we mentioned. She's an amazing athlete, reigning world champion, pretty much wins everything she touches. And yeah, we really had a lot of fun with this one and just kind of getting to know her and kind of how she trains and preps for these events. So we think you'll like it.
Enjoy.
Today's guest doesn't need much of an introduction. Within swim run circles, if you just say the name Desiree, pretty much everybody knows who you're talking about. She's from Stockholm, Sweden, and she's the current world champion with her partner and friend of the show, Fanny Kuhn. Most recently, she won the inaugural Atala Catalina race, and she's ramping up to defend the world championship title in August. Welcome to the show, Desiree.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We met briefly in Catalina, where you just dominated. But before we talk about how your prowess in the swim run space, we kind of wanted to take it all the way back to, you know, tell us about yourself. Tell us how you got involved in sport and what was that like growing up in Sweden?
I started like as a swimming when I was 5 years old, I guess, and I started to learn swimming. And I think my parents put me into swimming because I have always liked the water. I just wanted to be in the water and go in there, even if it was like cold. And then I learned how to swim, and then I started in a swim club in Stockholm. And I like continued in that swim club until I was about 16 years old or something. And then I switched to another swim club, the swim club I'm a part of right now. And so I have been like a swimmer for my whole my life, and I continue as long as I was in school, and then I started law school, and after finishing law school, I decided to, I wanted to do something else, so I asked to get time to do other things in life, and then I decided to stop swimming, but I couldn't really like stop swimming. I continued anyway. I tried to do some more running, but then it was easy to like get to get like hurt or something, because you have, it's easy, you feel like you can run for like hours because you are in that kind of shape, but your legs are not like prepared for run for hours. So I got a bit of like injured, and then I got back to some more swimming, tested some triathlon, and yeah, that was how I kind of after I started with swimrun.
Awesome. And so were you, so would you, it sound like a really competitive swim team. What did you, what stroke or what discipline did you specialize in?
I started as a breaststroker. It was almost like the only thing I could do in the beginning. And then at some point I didn't like develop so much in breaststrokes. I started to do more freestyle and do some long distance. And then after that, I had one coach, or one of my old coaches, she introduced me to open water swimming. So I did some open water swimming. And I kind of actually was a part of the really, really small first like Swedish national open water team in Sweden. But I went to like one European Cup, but I decided that I had to train a lot more to be really on the top of that. So I just, yeah. I don't know. I just get back to the normal pool swimming and did some.
So no big deal, you know, national
Swedish national team.
No problem there. How did you discover swimrun?
Actually, I have heard mostly from some like swimmer friends that organized a swimrun race that was called that is still called like Ångaloppet, and I haven't been thinking about doing it or anything like that. But there was the day before that race, it was 2014. One swimmer, like he did contact me and said, oh, do you want to do a swimrun race with me? It's tomorrow. And I was like, how long is that? It's 22K. And I was like, oh, I haven't even been running that. Like it was 20k of running, and I said I haven't even been running that long, and he said, oh, but I see you have done like aquathon. I did like two races of aquathon, so he said, oh, you can run. And I said, okay, yeah, I can try it could be fun. So he has brought some shoes from his girlfriend and some other stuff I could use, because I was at my summer house at that moment. And it is actually 5 minutes from where the race were going to take place. So that was really good. But he brought all the stuff I needed, and we did the race. And yeah, that was my first race.
And how did you do in that first race?
I did win it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we knew that was coming.
I was pretty sure that was going to happen. You know, now, fast forwarding a little bit before we go back again, you know, you're one of the top swim runners in the world. Did you have a sense from that first race that, wow, this is a really fun sport, I should do more of this, or did that come later?
I think I thought it was really fun, because it was good, like it was an experience, and it was hard, but it was fun. And of course, if you win a race, win something you haven't tried before, of course you get some motivation to do more of it. So I did the race the year after as well, but I didn't do any other races in between.
You did swim run, you thought it was fun. And then when did you make the move to kind of become a swim runner, I guess, about when you really started your dominance of the female category?
I started to do more races, like now it's 2.5 years ago when I did the VAR with Fanny, the first race I did together with her. So it was, I don't think, January or something, I got contacted by Nicolas Ramirez. He asked me if I wanted to do a race with Fanny. So that was, I think, the first.
Oh, so that's really interesting. So that's how you met Fanny, your sort
like
of
a matchmaker. I did, like, we were both, we are the same age, and we did swimming in Stockholm, both of us. I knew her and I have met her on races, but we didn't really know each other, but we like have seen each other on a lot of swim races in Stockholm.
So Nicholas plays matchmaker, and you meet Fanny, you're like, yeah, why don't we go do this race together? Did you train together? Did you discuss it? Like, how did that work out?
Yeah, we didn't have so much time to train together because she's obviously living in Barcelona and she was by then as well. But she came here for 1 weekend to do, and we did some training together for 1 weekend, and then we did talk like over the phone a couple of times, and then we actually met and on the race, like before the race, the day before or 2 days before in Croatia.
Awesome. I think amazing. This might be a good opportunity, actually. I know some people in some of our listeners have these questions about, well, Chris and I are lucky enough to literally live a mile or 2 miles from each other, so we constantly train together. But then you have people, it sounds like you and Fanny, who are hundreds or thousands of miles apart. How do you sort of approach your partnership, I guess, with such a big distance in between, like training and things like that?
Yeah, we really like to race together for the first minute of the race. It felt like easy from the start, so everything felt like good. So I don't know, we have like the same like approach and attitude towards the race and training as well. So most of that is easy, and we kind of check on each other how is training going, how is life, and just over like Messenger or I don't know, Skype or something, and then motivate each other and talk to each other that way.
So it sounds like it just the partnership between you and Fanny was just super natural. you hit it off right away, and
it felt really good from the beginning. So I think it was a really good, really, really good match. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm sure you're pretty thankful about that, and that's pretty a great coincidence, and great for the overall for the sport of swim run, of course.
So that was in 2018.
Yes.
I'm just gonna put this out there. They won that race, the first race they did together. I'll just keep putting that stuff in there. So 2018, you're racing with Fanny. You've raced with some other partners leading up in 2019. You pretty much dominated every race that you did, including the World Championship. What's that like?
I don't know. Every race is like new. So like, of course, we had the goal to win the race, but it's a long races and you never know what's going to happen. And you have pressure from like people around you when you have been winning a lot of races. That's natural. But also I think most of the pressure that I have come from myself and not from people around me. So, but it's always like you have some people that expect you to do good, and like, I don't know, it's sometimes it's a bit hard to have the pressure. But it's also like, it's fun that people, they expect you to do good things. So I don't know, it's both, I guess. It can motivate you, and sometimes it can feel a bit hard.
Sure. Yeah. And I guess, we've heard from other teams that there's a lot of camaraderie out on the course. So even though you're racing against another team, like we've interviewed Helen and Bella, and they're always chit-chatting with everyone and sort of supporting and high-fiving everybody. Is that kind of been your experience as well, of just everybody just still supporting them, supporting each other and trying to help everyone get to the finish line?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the things I really like with this sport as well, that it's really friendly, and like the atmosphere is really good both before and after and during the race as well. So I think that's really good. And maybe that has something to do with that you like kind of can change partners, and you have sometimes you race with one person that you will race against on the next race. So that's maybe that's some part of it. And like, yes, good people doing swim run, it's really nice. So yeah.
One race they could be your competitor, and the next race they're your partner.
Yeah.
It's a pretty unique scenario, I guess, that you don't get from a lot of other sports.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. With the COVID situation, and I know Sweden didn't quite close down the same as some of the other parts of the world, especially in California here, we were shut down for a couple months. But what is kind of a normal, I think, because you're so revered in the sport, a lot of people are kind of curious about what is your normal, quote unquote, normal training week look like? Let's just say this is pre-COVID situation. So let's say you're training up for Catalina. Kind of what does an average week look like for you? If you don't mind sharing some of that, I think I'm dying to know personally.
Yeah, I do like most of the swim training, at least during the winter, I do with my old swim club. So I train with the swimmers because I don't know. I like to have a coach that's on the side, and that's what I'm used to. So he has to tell me what to do, and I do it together with other swimmers, and it makes it much easier. And it's like 2 hours. It's quick. Like it feels like it's over easy. And so I think that's good. Normally I have one session that I do together with other swim runners. So one swim session when I put more like paddles. And sometimes I change some parts of the swim sessions I do with the swim club to do more paddles as well. But mostly I just follow their what's on their plan, actually. But otherwise I do some like normally like Saturday mornings together with Nicholas and some other swim runners in Stockholm. So we do more paddles and more swim run session swimming. And then I do the running. I try to not do too much because I don't want to get injured. Mm-hmm. Because if I have some months or something, I have done a little bit more than I probably should. And then I can sometimes feel that this was too much. So I try to not run like 2 days in a row. I have at least one day in between because that's what I experience is good for me. So I try to do one longer run and one session of intervals. And then like a first session that's kind of optional. And now when it's summer, I do more. I changed some of both running and swimming to do more swim run training sessions. That's not like possible during winter months in Sweden. Then you have to do, yes, swimming and running.
Yeah, I'm guessing when it's a foot of snow outside and, you know, whatever degrees Celsius, that's really cold. It's yeah. Pretty, dissuading to want to go out for a run. I hate running in the cold.
So Desiree, it sounds like focus on swimming and make sure that your swim is as strong as possible and then keep your run at a decent level so that you essentially can pass a bunch of teams on the swim, and then in the run you just kind of just hold on. How does that change? So for example, like the World Championship, there's so much running. Do you do anything different when you're, you know, going to be ramping up for that race?
I think I have tried to like improve my running over the years. I think I'm like getting better and better. And like last year I actually prepared to do my first, I did the marathon last year. So I have done one marathon in my life. Okay. So I kind of like prepared for that one as well. So I started to do more running last year than I have done before. And this year I have improved, like I do more intervals. I follow more like a structure of my running sessions than I have done previous years. I try to like do some more long runs when I have to focus for the World Championship, when it's really a lot of running. So I try to do longer runs. And also like, I think that when like last year there was a lot of like swim run races over during the season before that. So the long swim run races are kind of a preparation for as well.
Right. Yeah. I guess this year without that many races, it'll be tough. Are you going to be racing Engadin?
Yes, I am. I'm going to race. But
are you going to race with Fanny?
No, we are not going to do that race. I'm going to do the mixed.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because it looks like last year you won and your partner was Jenny?
Yeah, yes. And the year before I did the race, that one with Diane Sadik.
Diane, yeah. Which you also won. I'll just be the guy who hypes you up. Okay,
he's your hype guy.
So I have a question. I think you know you're super experienced. Are there like some tips that you think you've found really helpful that you think are of sort of general applicability to swim runners? Like, oh yeah, always double knot your shoe. I mean, whatever is there like a set of tips that you just think have been super helpful for you that you think people should that everybody should know.
You have to look at like swim run, like it's swim run and not like just swimming and running. So I think I have experience now, like also this week when I've been training together with like some triathletes and other people that try swim run for like kind of the first time. Mm-hmm. They are faster runners than I am, but they are not so fast in the transitions. So the transitions are good to practice. And that's something I have realized in some races as well, especially like Engadin last year when I was racing with Jenny as well. We did pass a lot of like mostly men's teams because that's most of the teams that were around. But in the transitions, we did pass three teams like standing and they were not so fast in going into the water. So I think you have to like practice the transitions as well. And yes, to learn how to like start running directly when you get up from the water and just not like have some like no rest in between. Just start running. Maybe you can start running a bit easier, not like super fast, but mm-hmm. you just have to continue all the time. So I think I just have to move forward all the time. That's one important key.
So being really fluid on the transition from run to swim or swim to run, it sounds like is a really key that point that is probably missed. And I mean, personally, I feel that the low tide boys, we need to do some more swim run specific training. And Nicholas, I know has been preaching that for a while. Do you do any specific workouts to sort of sharpen that skill? Or is that just something that you just kind of have picked up and sharpened due to high volume of racing?
Right now, like the last weeks, I have done like the Nicholas have some Monday sessions when we do like half an hour and then we do like 15 more minutes of like short like swim run loops. Like it's 1K of running and some shorter swims and we do that for like half an hour, like nonstop. And then you have a lot of transitions and you have to be like quick. So that's something I have done this year that's have been really good. So yeah, that's one thing. So like short loops. And then I also like when during the summers, when I'm with my family at our summer house, it's like outside kind of Nyköping, that's south of Stockholm. Like the archipelago out there is kind of similar to the Ötia course. Mm. And then when we are out with the boat, I kind of, when they have sitting and relaxing, I kind of run around the island we are or just go up and down on the rocks and just to do. It could be like for 20 minutes or like only 50 minutes or half an hour, not for so long, but just do it for do some transitions up and down there.
That's a really good tip. I like that. It doesn't have to be this 2 hour, you know, endeavor that you take on. A 20 minute session where you're doing 5 to 10 transitions would be extremely valuable for sharpening that skill.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And it makes it like for me when I'm together with my family, I can just do some short training during in the middle of the day when everyone is just there. And I can be like a part of the normal day for them. I just take some half an hour off and do something for a swim run. And so I think that's really, really good. And it's like motivation. If you have the motivation to train good for like half an hour, maybe that's better than do 2 hours. You're not really motivated. So I think something for other people to think about as well.
If you're keeping score at home, we interviewed Nicholas Ramirez. It was episode 14 of the show, if you want to check that out. But I know he's your coach, and he mentioned something that it's always stuck with me, and I think it relates to what we're talking about, where sort of the technique of swim run, it isn't, as you said, swimming and running. It's swim run. It's one word, and transitions are really important. Is there any? Do you sort of buy into that philosophy? And how do you see, you know, when you're moving through nature? And you're obviously doing it faster than everybody else. How does that feel when you're just like totally synced up with Fanny or Jenny or whoever you're racing with, and you're just kind of embodying the sort of the technique that Nicholas is talking about?
Yeah, I think like it is like one swimrun is like a unique thing, and I think I really like it because of the how it's possible to move from one place to another, and you can just change directions, so the way to go there, because you can move like both, you're like swim and you can run and you can take different directions. And I did like this weekend, I had two friends, swimrun friends, Anna Hellström and Martin Bielak. They visited me at my summer house, and we decided to go out to one of the islands where my family actually were with our boat. And then I just looked, oh, we can go this way. And then we had like an easy swimrun session. Yes. Taking whatever island we saw in front of us and do some swims, and yes, was a way for us to move out to that island instead of going with other ones with the boat. So I think it's really nice, and it's like a really fun way to experience new places and surroundings and nature.
I feel like this is such a common thread with Swedish swim runners. When, you know, we've talked to a fair amount of folks now, but Swedish swim runners compared to American swim runners, is that swim runs seem so almost ingrained in your culture somewhat that it doesn't require a week of planning what island you're going to go to. You just go out there and you do it, and you know it's going to be an adventure, as opposed to, I think, Americans, maybe I'm speaking for myself, it requires way more planning, like, okay, where are we going to park, and then where are we going to swim there? Will we get enough miles or enough yards in from here, and will the run be enough? So it's like, one is a way more overly planned situation, as with what it sounds like you, besides everyone in Sweden having a boat as well, seems to be a common thing. But just going out there and just doing it and experiencing nature is such, that contrast is really sticking out to me. That's not a question, I'm just pontificating.
Could probably be, and that maybe that's like a matter of like time, because in the beginning it was for me also like a lot of preparations, and I don't know, I couldn't do it like how I do it right now. So maybe it's a matter of like, you will probably get there as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's possible. Chipper, he's, whenever he sees a body of water, he's like, oh, maybe we can really go swim running there. And I'm like, that water looks disgusting. Like we can't swim there, dude. Well, I think that this has been really, really enlightening to us. How are you feeling about everything that's going on with swim run sort of as a sport?
I think it's fun that the sport is growing, and like a lot of new like nations and new people get in contact with them. Like in Sweden, you have like a lot, so many races. It's like big and small races. And I think it's really fun for me, it's fun to go to new places and like a way to experience new countries, new places, new cities. I think like in Sweden, swimrun is like something that most people actually know. When I'm at work now, like, there's someone new at my work, and I said, oh, do you run or swim? Or I say, I do swim run. And I say, okay, I know what it is. It's like when you, they know about the race from Sandhamn to Ute, and that wasn't the case some years ago, I guess. So now in Sweden, like, everyone kind of knows about it, get in contact with it and in some way or know someone.
I would take it, if I was Swedish, I would take it as a point of pride that my country essentially created a new sport that's essentially taken over the world in its way.
I was wondering, do people at work ask for your autograph now? They know?
No.
Okay. No. Not yet. Maybe you get on, is there a Swedish version of Sports Illustrated or a big athletic magazine like that?
Yes, there are some magazines,
One day.
Well, Desiree, you know, we don't want to take too much of your time because it's evening over there, but we just really wanted to thank you so much for being on the show and sort of sharing your insight. And good luck at Engadin and at the World Championship in a few months.
Q.
Yes, we will be cheering for you. And if I was a betting person, I think I know where I would
be betting against Desiree.
I would not bet my house on that. That wouldn't be a wise bet. Desiree, thank you again, and we will see you out there.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music, and of course our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line. And just keep going until you're done.
Yes.
Or until you cross the finish line.
Or run to the car.
Or run to your car.
Somewhere. Just keep running. Peace.